Last week we began this short series on the life of Joseph by considering one of the key themes in this story, and that is the theme of providence, the theme that in the midst of life, with all the ups and downs of the journey of life and the mystery of life, that God is not only the creator, but he is the upholder of all things. And that is something that we must always hold on to, not least as we are reminded, as we have been this past weekend, of the evil that is in our world and the uncertainty of life, that you could be here today and gone tomorrow. That God is still God. And despite the new barbaric terror wave that is engulfing our world, that Jesus Christ is still Lord. And we say amen to that, because it's a wonderful truth. And it is, if you like, encapsulated famously, hopefully you can see that, but basically it's drawing your attention to the words of Genesis 50 and verse 20, which is a very important verse and text, where towards the end of Joseph's life, he said to his brothers, "Brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And that is an amazing thing. And as a preacher, I could be tempted to go off on that again tonight. But you know, the truth is this, that in light of all that's happening at the moment, I do always believe that the devil always overreaches himself. And even in the midst of life, when awful things happen, as they have happened over these past days in our world, that actually in a peculiar, strange, mysterious way, God will bring his purposes out of even that. And it is not difficult for us to think that around different parts of the world, there will be people who will even be made to think, "Where would I have been if that had been me?" And there will be people in other parts of the world who will be made to think, "This ideology, this religion that I am following, is that what it's all about? Surely there must be a better way." So God is still God. But tonight we consider the account of Joseph in the house of Potiphar. And it raises another really big theme for us as we consider the temptation of Joseph. I don't have these on the screen, but a couple of quite famous little quotations that once were said about this. Spurgeon used to say to people, you know, "We will always be in danger as long as we are here in this world. We will always be in danger. Brother and sister in Christ, you and I will always be in danger. We are in a fight. We are in a battle." And it was Matthew Henry, the famous Puritan commentator, who said that the best of saints may be tempted to the worst of sins. Temptation is a fact of the Christian life. Do not be lulled into ever thinking, "Now that I have put my trust in Jesus Christ, I'm safe from temptation." Your temptation is only beginning. putting your trust in Jesus Christ for salvation and for your eternal welfare does not inoculate any of us against temptation. Joseph was faced with temptation. And let me just draw your attention from the text about the type of temptation that he was drawn to. Let me say a few things about this. First of all, let me suggest to you tonight that there was a subtlety about it. Now, we don't have to spend time. We know the context. He has come to be in Potiphar's house. We are told just at the end of verse 6, and look at the text, see what it says. It says, Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. The NIV says, after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph. If you're reading a King James Version, an Authorized Version, or an ESV, it uses the phrase, which I think is very helpful. It said that she cast her eyes upon Joseph. Now, that is a very telling and I think a phrase that is pregnant with meaning. She cast her eyes. The eye. Your eyes, my eyes, are the key to a whole lot of things. And it is significant that Jesus taught, and you can look this up sometime yourself, in Luke chapter 11, he said this, your eye is the lamp of your body. And when your eyes are good, then your whole body will be full of light. But when your eyes are bad, then your body will be full of darkness. And folks, how true it is. We all know this. The things that we look upon, the things that we focus in upon with our eyes, the things that we look at and begin to ponder and imagine and all of that kind of stuff, there's a subtlety about it. And you know, the devil is very, very subtle. He is wily. He is always scheming. And how many people and how many Christians have been led to a problem or a bit of a fall because they have allowed themselves, their eyes, to be cast upon something. We sometimes sing, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And brother and sister, can I say to you, be careful, little eyes, what you see and what you look upon. Your eyes, in many, many ways, are the gateway to your soul. Be careful what you look at, because it can make its way from your eye to your soul in a very subtle way and create a massive problem. So there was a subtlety about it, but there was also a sense in which this temptation became very sustained. We read in verse 10, and though she spoke to Joseph day after day, Potiphar's wife had become gripped by many things. She had become gripped by lust and by sinful imagination. And she continued to speak to young Joseph in a sustained manner. There is a great danger here, isn't there? And it demonstrates that if any of us, by the grace of God, do not at times get a grip of ourselves, then sin will get a grip of us. And it's obvious what was happening in this woman's life. This thing had come in upon her and she continued to do what she did. The whole thing had got a grip of her. Now, brother and sister in Christ, if you and I do not have a grip of ourselves in our personal lives, in our thinking, in our looking, in our imagining, these things will get a grip of us. They surely will. This is, for example, what happens, I think, to people who get trapped by the great evil of pornography. A little look, it'll not be much. And it gets a grip of them. And in some cases, it destroys their lives and the lives of their families. Folks, these are serious things. And the other thing about this temptation, not only was it subtle, not only was it sustained, it was strong. We read in verse 11 that one day Joseph is in the house and he's going about his duty and there's nobody else there. But sadly, Potiphar's wife is there. And in verse 12, we're told that she caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." Most Christian men reading that verse will know and sense the strength and the power of the danger that Joseph was in those moments. Because there is a power, there is a strength, there is a danger in a situation like this of being swept by what's happening. So temptation can be very, very strong. And people have allowed themselves to get into situations where really they have just been carried along by the strength. If you like the headings of danger, beware, are writ large over this text. Brother and sister, beware. So, those are some things that we can say about this temptation. But maybe to be a little bit more constructive and helpful, though we do need to be warned, what can we learn from the life of Joseph to help us in temptations are? Well, let me just mention a number of things. First of all, as we face temptation, we need to be decisive. Look at what it says in verse 7 and 8. We're told, after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph. She cast her eyes on him and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. He refused. There's a decisiveness about what the text tells us here. There was something decisive about Joseph in this situation. Brother and sister, if you let temptation in on you and begin to toss around in your head what you should do or what you should not do, I believe that you are on very, very dangerous ground. We need to be decisive in these things. And by the grace of God, when the temptation comes, we need to say, "No, I will not go in that direction." And we need to get up and do something about it. And we'll come to that in a moment. Christian, can I say to you, know your weak spots and think ahead so that you can act decisively when temptation comes. In this regard, when I said there, think ahead, I literally mean that. We need to think about these things. Who was it said, "Your mind is the watchman of your soul"? And how true that is. Your mind and my mind is the watchman of our souls. There's a sense in which you can imagine a wee guard standing as we think about things. and the guard saying, look, be very careful, look out, danger, warning, be very careful here. Your mind is the watchman of your soul. So think ahead, be decisive, plan ahead, so that whenever the temptation comes, that you can do something about it. The other thing that we notice here is that we need to be principled. And I think this is very, very powerful. Verse 8, but he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. Now notice this, no one is greater in the house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. You are that man's wife. You are Potiphar's wife. How could I think such a thing? How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Now, there's much here. Yes, it would have been a betrayal of Potiphar, his master. But ultimately, it would have been an act of defiance against Almighty God. It would have been a wicked thing. And can I say to you tonight, brother and sister in Christ, we live in a world which thinks, well, they don't believe in sin. They think that all this kind of thing is a bit of a laugh. And everybody does it. So what's the problem? Brother and sister in Christ, you and I need to see sin as sin. We actually need to see it as a heinous and terrible act of defiance against God. And whenever you begin to think that way, you will discover that that will be a protection upon you. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we must never lose sight of the principle of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord sometimes can be set to the side today. But the fear of the Lord, biblically, it is not a thing that we're kind of cowering before God. But we're revering God. We recognize that God is God. God is majestic. God is holy. And it is a good thing to have a good and a godly dose of the fear of the Lord in your heart, because it's the beginning of wisdom. And it will protect you. And whenever the devil comes at you, and whenever you're tempted to do various things, you will say, no, I cannot do this. Even though I am tempted to go down this road, why can I not do it? Because it would be a gross sin against God. Some of you may know the name of Alistair Begg, a pastor from the United States. He says, just in this connection, I don't have it on the screen, but he says this. He says, no matter what contemporary culture says, sexual sin is not just between consenting adults. It is an act of disobedience against God. And that's why we do not engage in sexual sin. Why do Christians not just follow the world in these things? It's because we believe that to follow the world would be to engage in something that was in gross defiance of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, brother and sister, have those principles in your heart. And temptations are, whatever your temptation will be, and it will help you. The other thing I would mention is this, be wise. Verse 10, and though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. Joseph knew that it wasn't wise to be around this woman. And each Christian knows his or her own weakness. And so therefore, each Christian must Plan and act accordingly and wisely, so that you do not put yourself into a situation where you are likely to be tempted. If you think, if you even suspect that you're putting yourself into a situation where you're going to be tempted, don't go there. Just don't go there. Don't do that. Do that. Whatever it is, don't go there. By God's grace, we need to be wise and not foolhardy. Read Proverbs 7 sometime, and it will speak of the person, to quote the writer, who lacked judgment and who walked right into the midst of temptation. Be wise, brother and sister. Be wise. And the last thing I would say from this text is there are times that we need to be drastic. Verse 12. This woman caught Joseph by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and he ran out of the house. He ran. And you know, folks, as with Joseph, there are times in the Christian life that you need to run. You need to run. You need to flee. And our Lord taught the same principle in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Remember what he said? If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. Now, the Lord wasn't literally calling us to mutilate ourselves, but he was using a particular way of speaking, a particular type of language, to make a point. If you're in a situation, do what needs to be done in order to avoid falling into sin. Take the drastic measure that is required to protect you from evil. Just on the theme that we're on this evening, and in light of the world in which we live, it may be measures like internet accountability or internet filtering, obvious measures. But you will know in your situation what is appropriate and what is required. So be drastic. Be drastic. Don't be scared to be drastic. What's the most important thing? For you to have A, B, and C and keep falling into sin? Or for you to say, "Look, that's out, because I want to walk with the Lord." Temptation is a fact of the Christian experience, and we must always be on our guard every single day. And as I draw this to a close, let me say this. Ultimately, brother and sister, it is where you and I are spiritually in our walk with the Lord that will determine how we get on in this whole area. And as with so many things, all of this calls us back to basics, doesn't it? Back to the basics. We never get away from the basics. Back to a love and a cherishing of the Word of God. Back to a leaning every day on the Holy Spirit to guide us and to empower us through daily life. Back to a sense that we're not naive and innocent into thinking, you know, I'll never be tempted. You will be tempted. You're in a fight. You're in danger. Danger. You're in danger, folks. There is a devil. He wants to trip you up. He wants to ruin things. So be aware of that. Back to the basics of keeping our vows for Jesus' sake. Keeping the vows of youth for Jesus' sake. For the sake of the gospel. For the sake of our children. For the sake of our grandchildren. For the sake of the cause of the gospel in our community. to live a holy life and to walk circumspectly because the days are evil. Brother and sister, you can either sow to the flesh and reap the harvest, or you can sow to the Spirit and reap the harvest. As I finish, let me say this. Maybe God is challenging you tonight. Maybe the devil is condemning you. Maybe there's somebody sitting here tonight and you feel under condemnation. Maybe you feel accused because you have fallen in temptation's hour. Let me say this, and let me say it strongly. There is still hope, and there is room and space for recovery. Praise God. Repent of your sin and claim afresh the new cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Claim the merits of him who was tempted like us, yet without sin, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the text of 1 John. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. So I finish tonight in this sobering theme of temptation with the good news, the message of Christ crucified and risen. And whenever that message is applied to our lives, we can overcome the power of temptation. Praise God. And we rejoice and we take comfort and strength and hope from the words of 1 John 4 and 4. Easy to remember, 1 John 4 and 4. What does it say? It says this: greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So folks, don't go out the door condemned tonight. Don't go out the door allowing the devil to kick you into the ground because of what you may have done or because of how you may have fallen. Repent, claim the blood of Christ afresh, and if you're a believer, come and join us around this table because, praise God, it's for sinners saved by the grace of God. It's for sinners. It's for people who have fallen and have been restored by the grace of God. And that is the good news. And may tonight we learn from the story of Joseph. May we watch and pray, and may we live closer to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.